If you will, please turn with me to Ephesians chapter 5 this morning. Considering verses 15 through 17, we continue in our study in the book of Ephesians. This morning, considering wisdom. It was J.A. Motier, that great commentator, who has said, "Wisdom opens the eyes both to the glories of heaven and to the hollowness of the earth." Let's pray and we'll hear God's word together. That He may indeed give us wisdom to hear, that He may open our ears and our hearts for His glory. Please pray with me. Our Father and our God, we thank You for the privilege that is ours to come, to bring ourselves before You and to acknowledge our great need of You. Father, we do come this morning seeking wisdom, to participate in Your worship, to honor You with our lives, but to acknowledge, Father, that we are a needy people. We acknowledge that we have need of wisdom that is from above. And we ask now, Father, for Your wisdom that is pure and peaceable, that You would shower it upon us, that we may have understanding of Your Word, and that You may help us to apply that Word by Your Spirit to our hearts. Draw us near, Father, we pray. For we come in the light and life of Christ our Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Beloved, Ephesians 5, verses 15 through 17. Hear the word of God. "Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise but as wise, making the best use of the time, because the days are evil. Therefore do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is." Everybody wants wisdom. Everybody would like to be wise before others. You can find in every religion in the world the teaching of how to be wise. But there is something that is distinctively different about Christian wisdom. It is distinctively different because it comes as a gift through the person of Christ to us. We are told in the Scriptures that in Him, that is in Christ, are hidden all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. And Paul's call for us is not only to know wisdom, but to walk in wisdom. This week, someone decided that they would give me a little gift, and so they gave me the slip out of their fortune cookie. They didn't even give me the fortune cookie, just the slip out of the fortune cookie. And it was a slip about wisdom. They must have known where I was going this week. And it was a Chinese proverb about wisdom that went like this: "If you are wise with your decisions, good things are bound to come." If you are wise with your decisions, good things are bound to come. Now, that's how a wisdom in the world often works. If you do the right things, then you will get the right outcome, right? If you try the right things, if you decide the right things, then good things are bound to come. What I want you to see this morning is that we're aiming for something a little different. We're not aiming just for a proverbial advantage, some proverbial advice that sounds good and we can mount on a wall. No, what God intends for us is for us to walk wisely in the world as His children for His glory. It's not just the proverb that we're seeking this morning. It's the lifestyle we're seeking this morning. And when Paul comes to us this morning and tells us to walk as wise, not as unwise, he's speaking to that which is to govern our very life. Now, the problem for us in seeking wisdom is that we generally start on the horizontal level, right? We generally seek wisdom this way. We think about what the wise thing to do is, and we pursue that. We pursue wisdom on the horizontal level before we pursue the God of wisdom. Interestingly, the Bible starts the other way. The Bible reminds us that wisdom is ours in Christ for the asking. If you lack wisdom, ask. God generously gives, James 1:5, if you lack, ask. But notice, the Bible starts a different way than we often start. Instead of starting with my wisdom and then I'll move to God if I get in trouble, we are to start with God and then move to our issue and move forward in a lifestyle of wisdom because it's a gift. God this morning gives us a person of wisdom in Christ, and He gives us the promise of wisdom because wisdom is a gift for us. We are to walk in wisdom. And so I'd ask you this morning, are you wise in the way you walk? I'd ask you this morning, have you given the details of your life over to God in the pursuit of godly wisdom? That is our goal. Now, this is where we've been over the last few weeks. We've been reminded by the text, those who are in Christ, those who find the foundation of their life and their belief to be sewn up in the person and work of Jesus because He gives life, the one who is our substitute, the one who has stood in our place, those who are in Christ are called to be imitators of God. And imitators of God live this way. They walk in love, verse 2 of chapter 5. They walk in light, verse 8 of chapter 5. They walk in wisdom, verse 15 of chapter 5. Why do we walk in love? We walk in love because we are loved by the Father in Christ Jesus our Savior. Why do we walk in light? Why are we children of light? Because the light of life in Christ has been given to us, and so we are to be light unto the world, exposing darkness, engaging in the world, living as the light of Christ. Why do we walk in wisdom? We walk in wisdom because the days are perilous, our text says. There are things that would trip you up, so you need the wisdom of God to walk well in this world as a citizen of heaven. You see, wisdom is the practical way of life for all believers, because it is in wisdom, when we receive the wisdom of the all-knowing Father, that we know how to walk for His glory in the world, the path that He has given us. Now, there are three things I want us to see in our text this morning. We'll just follow a verse by verse about wisdom. What I want you to see first this morning in our text is that the way of wisdom is thoughtful. I want you to see in the big picture, the way of wisdom is thoughtful, timely, and trustworthy. But first this morning, verse 15, the way of wisdom is thoughtful. We are called to live wisely and not unwisely. We are called to be thoughtful about our life and our investments. Notice there in verse 15 again, look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. Notice there, we are to look carefully at our daily life and our steps in God's world. Why? Because we need to walk with His wisdom in His world. God calls us to be wise, and if we're going to be wise, we must be thoughtful. The key word there in verse 15, if you look at it again, is the word careful. Notice there, look carefully then how you walk. That's the key word there. Look carefully then how you walk, not as unwise, but as wise. The word careful there in the Greek means that we are to examine and investigate life with care. We are to examine our steps, our daily walk. We are to examine our daily decisions. We are to examine the way we live in God's world carefully. That's what it means to walk in wisdom. It means to be thoughtful about life. Now, the problem for most of us is what? We are thoughtful about certain things, right? But it's hard to be thoughtful about all of life, isn't it? Our default is just to go with the flow, right? You know, life has its warp and its woof. It has its patterns, and we just tend to truck along through life until the next problem comes up, right? That's when we think about seeking wisdom. We think about seeking wisdom not when things are going well, but when things are going wrong, right? And yet, the Bible here, Paul is calling us to something different than that. He's calling us to take captive the day that is before us and live wisely in the day and the moment and the time that God gives us. You see, we are to be careful to walk wisely in God's world. It takes care on our part to do the wise thing. Folly is the easy way to go in our world. It's easy to fall back on our own understanding rather than seeking God's understanding. But notice here, Paul wants us to live in a different way. He doesn't want the prevailing folly of the times to lead us. He wants us to carefully consider how we may be wise in this world. Why? Because Christians are to be known by their wisdom. It's very interesting. In the world, I think many Christians are known by their folly. But God has different intentions for us. We are to be known by our wisdom. Why? Because we walk in wisdom, the wisdom of Christ, which is true wisdom. Not just wise things in the ways of the world, but wise things in the ways of Christ. That's what gives you enjoyment in life, is when you live wisely before the Father. And so God wants us to be careful how we use our money. We need to be careful to use our money well. We need to be careful to use our time well. We need to be careful to use all the resources that God blesses us with well. We need to build relationships well in the world. We need to be about worldly engagements in a proper and careful way. You see, God wants you to be thoughtful about your engagement with Him, about your engagement with one another, about your engagement in the community, the society, in the confines of the world that He's placed you. God calls us to engage, but to engage wisely. Well, let me speak just to that a moment. I think Tim Keller's right when he considers how Christians tend to engage the world. He says there's three main ways that Christians often engage the world, and he calls the first class the tourist engagement. There are those who engage the world like a tourist. There are those who engage the world like immigrants. And he says that the way we should engage the world is as ambassadors. The way that a tourist engages the culture, you know, if you're on a trip to France, you don't desire to end up in the back alleys of the saucier spots of Paris, right? No, you go there to see the sights. You know, the basic way a tourist looks at a culture is to go in and to use and to get what they want while staying distant from that culture. That's not our call. We're not called to be tourists in this world. We are to walk wisely with the world. We are a part of this world, and yet we're not called to be tourists, but we're not called to be immigrants either. You know, the immigrant way of life is to join a culture and to be taken in by that culture. The immigrant way of life is to say, there are great benefits there, and I'm going to go and I'm going to enjoy those benefits, and you submerge yourself into a culture until you become like that culture. You see, one way always keeps its distance. There's no aid to the culture there. But the other way, the immigrant model, is so submersed in the culture that you can't tell the difference between the culture and an identity in Christ. That's why Keller says that we need to have an ambassador model in the way we engage culture. This is what I want you to be thoughtful about. You see, if wisdom is thoughtful, then we must be thoughtful not only how we live our life personally, but how we live our life corporately and how we engage the world around us. And the ambassador model is this. You know, when we come to worship on Sunday, this is our city, as it were. This is a gathering of the city of God here in a local expression in Bryan College Station. Here we are to be built in our identity in Christ. And then when you go out 6 days in the week, you are to engage that culture, the culture around us here in Bryan College Station, as an ambassador. You live in light of this day because this is where you're made. This is what your true identity is as one in Christ. You live for this King, God Almighty. And when you engage your world, you are living distinctively. You see, wisdom always calls you to be thoughtful and distinctive. Why? Because we live for Christ. Engaging, but not immersed or consumed by our culture. It takes wisdom to walk well in the world. And Christ calls us to live for Him in this world, to be ambassadors for Him. And so Paul, as he knows the people at Ephesus, you know, Ephesus was much like Bryan College Station, maybe worse in some ways. There was idolatry that was rampant. There was a sinful activity all around. They had their own North Gate. They had their own experience of sensuality in the world around them. And Paul comes to the people at Ephesus and he says, you are different. Be thoughtful about your life in Christ. Walk wisely. Engage your world, but engage that world for Christ. You see, wisdom is careful. Wisdom is watchful. Wisdom is thoughtful about its engagements in the world around us. You know, the hard thing, I think, for most of us is that we're barraged by a different kind of wisdom in the world. I can't remember exactly which company it was. I think it was Burger King that first happened upon the commercial, at least the first commercial I can remember where it was celebrated, "Have it your way." You know, have it your way, right? You can get your burger any way you want. Have it your way. But now when I watch TV, I see that kind of commercial all the time. The celebration that you are the king and that you should be able to get it your way. I was watching TV the other day and a credit card commercial come on. This in the wake of one of the greatest downturns of economy because of the housing crunch. There was a commercial that came on for a credit card and said, "You deserve it all." As a matter of fact, you can have it all. And we can make it happen. Yeah, it's easy to get a credit card this day. Is that living wisely and thoughtfully now? Oh, it just makes you a slave in a different way, right? You know, a new TV show's coming on Channel USA, the USA channel on cable. I was watching a football game and I saw a commercial for it for a TV show called The Starter Wife. And the punchline for that TV show was the key actress was saying, "I'm ready to answer to no one but myself." That's the ethos of our day. That's the wisdom of our day. But I want you to know, beloved, it's not thoughtful and it is destructive. It's not distinctive and it is destructive. It will destroy you to live only for yourself. You see, the ambassador model of wisdom calls us to live for something far more. It calls us to live for the glory of God and to be wise in the world where He has placed us. We are God's ambassadors to Bryan College Station. And so our lifestyle should be modeled in wisdom in every interaction, in every way we partake. Our lives are to be wise and they are to be consistent for the glory of God. Gospel-oriented lives in dependence upon Christ leads to wise living because it leads to distinctiveness and consistency in life. R.C. Sproul tells the story of a young man who admired his father greatly when he was growing up. Grew up in a Jewish family, and his father was a fine businessman, a man who was revered in his town. And this young boy looked up to his father. Somewhere about the time that this young man was growing into manhood, somewhere in his early teens, one day his father came home and said, "We're converting. We're leaving Judaism and we're going to become Christians." And when questioned about why, he said, "Judaism's been outlawed and practiced in Germany, and we are going to become Christians because it makes good business sense." The family converted to Lutheranism. They became well known in the community. But that event had disastrous impact on this young man's life. The consistency, the wisdom that he thought was wisdom, was overturned. As a matter of fact, he would spend his life writing against the bourgeois class system. His name? Karl Marx. When Karl Marx's father converted to Christianity, he didn't convert to Christianity. He converted to consumerism and used Christianity. Here's my point for us this morning, beloved. You can't be a Christian for the use of God. You have to be a Christian unto the glory of God. And wisdom says, I take my marching orders from God. I find my hope in God. I find my relationship bound up in Christ. And it is in Christ that I will follow. You see, the wise life is the examined life. And we examine our relationship to God daily. We examine our relationship to our family and friends daily. We examine our relationship to God's world daily so that we can honor Him. Beloved, you need to live an examined life if you are going to be wise in the way God calls you to walk in wisdom. You are wise when you seek Him. And the way to wisdom is to work backwards. To think ahead so that you can work backwards. You know, some of you are here for a university degree, right? That's what brought you to Bryan College Station. You're here for a university degree. You've got a goal in sight, right? You know what that, it might take you 4 or 5. Some of you will stretch that into 6 years, I know. You will enjoy your time here, but you have a goal in sight, right? You know, I can tell you what I see happen with students all the time. You know, you're in the prevailing winds of the culture. Wisdom says, come study. You have a great opportunity. Pursue it with gusto. But the world's wisdom says, you're young. Enjoy life. And the way that's going to hit some of your lives is that you're going to spend the next 10 weeks living it up, right? You're going to enjoy all that Bryan College Station and the University at Texas A&M has to offer. And then about 3 weeks before final, all of a sudden, you're going to be panic-stricken. You know why? Because grades are coming. And mom and dad and others look at those grades at the end of the semester, right? You know, what does wisdom say? Wisdom doesn't say live for yourself and pack it all into to a couple of hours just to make a grade. No, wisdom says make the most of this time. You know, there are 1 billion people in the world living on $1 a day. You don't know the privilege God has given you in bringing you here. Study to the glory of God. It's not just about making an A, a B, or a C. I don't know what you think you can get by on. It's about studying because God's using now for the future. You know, you're here for a university degree and you're hopeful that a good job's tacked on at the end, right? Be thoughtful now. But I want you to remind you, it's not just thoughtful about the income you make. It's thoughtful about the impact you can make because God calls not just pastors. God calls engineers. God calls chemists. God calls factory workers. God calls us to our task for His glory, and what you learn now will impact the way you live in His world. Learn to live thoughtfully now in the kingdom of God by the grace of God, and you will see that somebody will one day come up to you and say, I want to learn from your wisdom. Wisdom happens over time. Some of you are in the throes of raising a family, right? The university illustration doesn't quite get you, but you're in the throes of raising kids. You know, parents, you are called to raise your kids wisely before the Lord. You know what I find happens for most of us as parents is this. You know, we get involved in this activity, and we have this assignment, and we have this appointment. We just go from thing to thing to thing, right? And the problem with that is that then our circumstances, our situations begin to govern our life rather than wisdom. You also need to work backwards by thinking forward, parents. You know, your goal is not just to get them out there. Your goal is to send your kids forth with the relationship of Christ in the wisdom of God to transform the world. You know where God's going to transform the U.S.? It's going to be in the next generation. At least that's my hope. He's going to do that because a godly generation is being raised up. That's my hope. But God has designs for the family. You know, some of you are in the golden years. And you say, you know, I've made my life's investments. I can kick back a little bit. It's time for me to live it up. And some of you are ready to retire from life. You know, you're ready to retire from responsibility in the community and responsibility in the church, and I want to guard your heart against it. You may retire from a career, but you never retire from a calling. God calls us all to invest. You know, what I would love to see is that every young person in this community would have an older person that's walking in footstep with them, leading them in the righteousness of Christ. So this is the time where investments are made. We don't ever stop investing in the next generation. Beloved, we are all to live thoughtfully before Christ. Wisdom is thoughtful. Wisdom comes from above. Wisdom is given by God's grace, but wisdom is thoughtful. Are you being thoughtful about your life? You see, that's God's goal for us, to see that the way of wisdom is thoughtful. We don't do that by pulling back, but we engage meaningfully with the love of Christ. Today is the day we are to seize and see for the glory of God. Beloved, go home today and begin to work backwards by thinking ahead. What's God's goal for your life? Wisdom is thoughtful. But secondly, I want you to see from our text that wisdom, the way of wisdom, is timely. Notice there in verse 16, the way of wisdom is timely. Making the best use of the time because the days are evil. What's Paul saying here? He's saying to us that time is a precious commodity. You get today once. You can't relive today. When it's gone, it's gone. There may be many other commodities that you have in your life that are renewable, but time is not. You have this time, this moment, this day once. And we are to live, making the most of our time. Best translated there, I think the word best translated there would be ransom the time or redeem the time. We are to redeem the time that God gives us. You know, that word time there, the Greek is a little more hardy than the English here. There are more words than one for the word time. The word that you know as chronology comes from one word for time. Chronos is the Greek word there. That's the word that's kind of clock time. It's the word that measures the seconds, the minutes, the hours of a day. That's chronology. That's the time when you watch the clock. Some of you are very good at watching the clock. Maybe some of you are doing it now. That's not the time that's mentioned in this passage. the time that's mentioned in this passage, that we are to redeem the time, we are to make the most of the time, is a word that means to take, see the significance of time, to understand the season of time, to make the most of the time. Jesus uses it. When he is about to go to his death, when he's preparing to have the final supper with his disciples, he tells them to go to speak to a man about an upper room. And when he gives them instructions in Matthew 26, I believe it's verse 18, he says, "Go to him and tell him that my appointed time is at hand and I will feast with my disciples." That appointed time there is the word kairos. Jesus lived his life for a moment, right? Perfectly lived his life for a moment where he would die upon a cross and then rise again. He had come to his appointed time. That's the word for time that's mentioned here. Ecclesiastes captures upon this word in the Hebrew in Ecclesiastes chapter 3 when we're told that there's a time for various things. Turn back to Ecclesiastes chapter 3 there. It's about halfway back in your Bible. Ecclesiastes, the author, the Koheleth, the great teacher, says this to remind us of the importance of time. He says, "So, for everything there is a season, and for a time, every matter under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to plant and a time to pluck up what is planted, a time to kill and a time to heal, a time to break down and a time to build up." I know some of you are still turning pages, verse 4. "A time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance, a time to cast away and a time to gather stones together, a time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing, a time to seek and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to tear and a time to sow, a time to keep silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace." What's the man of wisdom in Ecclesiastes getting at? There are seasons of life, and you'll never understand how to walk in wisdom until you understand what season God has you in. In this room, we have every season of life, from young to old, from student to worker to retired. We need to understand the season that God has us in so that we can redeem the time that is before us. Why do we redeem the time? You know, our motivation is to make the most out of this time. Why? Because the days are evil. Did you see that back there in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 16? Making the most of the time or redeeming the time. Why? Because the days are evil. You see, there's great pressure upon you, beloved. Great pressure upon you to misuse, to misappropriate, to waste the time that God's given. But God gives us opportunities that are to be used for His glory. Seize those opportunities for His glory. That's wisdom. Wisdom is timely. Wisdom is, it seeks to use God's time in the best way. You don't know the number of your days. I don't know the number of my days. But this we know today. God's called us to make the best use of our time for His glory. You see, the way of wisdom is timely. We are to pursue it. We must measure the state of our life. The goal here in the text is that we would do the right thing in the right way at the right time. That's God's goal for you today. To walk out. And I'm not just telling you to work harder. Some of you are here at this point. I'm just telling you you've got to do more. That's actually not what I'm saying. I'm saying be wise with the time you've got. God gives you time to work. He gives you time to play. He gives you time to rest. Here's the problem with our culture. We're so unorganized in the way that we do that. We are prone to play at our work and work at our play, and then we never get anything done, right? We are called to organize our times according to God's goal for us. You see, a wise life is an organized life. It measures the season. It measures the significance of the time that is before you. Whether you're a student or a family, whether you're a retiree, it calls you to measure that season, to live it for God's glory. This week, one of the ways we measure time and the significance of time in our family is we have that door where you measure everybody as they grow. Now, you come in and you look at that door in my boy's room and you say, there's a bunch of lines. I can see how tall Joshua, Christopher, Micah, and Cara Beth have been at certain ages. But for us, there's a story for every line on that wall. Now, there's been a lot of growing in our house this summer. Leaps and bounds, inches at a time. And so there's been a lot of marks on that door. Day before yesterday, my daughter came up to me and she decided she had the marking pen, the measuring pen, and she decided it was time for Dad to get measured. I stopped growing a long time ago, by the way. At least this way. Still grow some this way. But she decided that it was time to measure Dad, and she I was kind of in a doorway, not the doorway that we usually use, but I was in a doorway, and she had a pen, and she knew what that pen was for, and so she said, "I'm going to measure you." I said, "Okay." And she said, kind of pointed, and so I moved back dutifully and got next to the door pan, and she took the cap off, and she looked up at me, and all of a sudden this quizzical look hit her face, and she said, "You're big." My daughter had a task in mind, but all of a sudden, it was this aha moment. She wasn't big enough for the task that was at hand. She was going to need help. And I want to tell you that truth today. You must live an organized life, an examined life, but you're not big enough for the task that God has at hand for you. The only way to live in wisdom and to live a life larger than the mundane of your day is to find your hope in Christ and to pursue that hope. And to measure your season, your life, the significance of your time well. This is your opportunity to live for the Savior in front of the world. It's God that's at work. You'll never be able to take the credit for it, but you will be able to rejoice in the credit that is God's as you give glory to Him. But where, you know, you'd govern, if you were governing your life, you'd play Xbox 20 hours a week. You'd have intramurals 15 hours a week. You'd sit on the computer chat room for another 15 hours a week. I can tell you that is not wisdom and that's not God's goal for your life. Now, can you do those things to the glory of God? Absolutely, in moderation. You know, for some of you who are in the workforce, and God's put you there in a job, and sometimes you don't see the reason for it. And you know, you could spend half your day playing solitaire and surfing the web. That's not God's goal for you. That's not wisdom. God expects you to give a day's wage. If you're going to earn a day's wage, He expects you to give a day's work. You know, for some of you who have as much free time as you want, to just spend that freely as you will, that's not God's goal for you. You see, God's goal for you is to see the season and to seek in that season His glory. That's wisdom. Wisdom begins to identify the time that God's given and ask this question: how can I serve the Lord in my midst? You know, we all have different abilities. We have different relationships. We have different giftings. But every one of us has one purpose: to wisely walk in God's world using our gifts for His glory. You see, beloved, what I want you to see is that we must be thoughtful. We must seize the time that God gives us. Why? Because His ways are trustworthy for us. God calls us to serve. And the way of wisdom, quickly, the way of wisdom is trustworthy. Notice there, thirdly in our text, notice there, the way of wisdom is trustworthy. Biblical wisdom reminds us that it is foolish to go it alone and that it is foolish to go our own way. Why? Because wisdom is trustworthy when it is sought from God. Notice here in verse 17. Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. This really is what we've been driving to this morning, is that the goal of wisdom is to understand the will of the Lord. You know, foolishness is basically moral stupidity in action. Wisdom is God's truth, centering yourself in God's truth and putting that in action. And that's God's goal for us, to seek His will. Foolishness is basically walking my way in this world, doing my thing. Biblical wisdom is seeking God's will for my life and following His path. And we need to pursue that. You see, biblical wisdom comes as we offer our life to God. Because we don't pursue our ends in life, we are to pursue His ends in life. It's an offered life. Why? Because God has a will and a plan for us. God calls us to seek Him in life and to follow Him in life. You see, wisdom is gained when God-centered truth is put into action in our life, when our will is rightly aligned with His will. That's the goal. And how that happens is when we learn to see the distinctions. You know how you become wise at something? You become wise at something when that activity is not a blur anymore. When you can begin to draw out the component parts, for instance. This summer, a month ago, I was watching the Olympics and I was watching people jump off of the high dive platform. You know, that makes no sense to me at all. Why anybody would jump that high into that water. And these girls, I happened to be watching the ladies that day, and they were doing flips into the water, and some were getting scores of 80s and 90s, and some were getting scores of 50s and 60s, and I couldn't tell the difference. You know why? A flip's a flip to me. They went in the water. I applauded them every time. I was glad to see they had come up out of the water. But the judges were tearing them apart. As a matter of fact, I got so tired of listening to the judges, I just put it on mute and just watched. But they were talking about the rotation. You know, all that was lost on me. Why? Because it was just a blur. It was all happening so fast. It was way too fast for my mind. You know, and that's where we generally miss wisdom because we generally live life at such a speed that we just miss all the details. This week it was one of our sons. It was his date day, and so he chose to go to Atami, which is a Japanese steakhouse. You know where they cook in front of you. It's a lot cheaper at lunch, and so we take our date days at lunch, and we were there, and the guy, you know, they put on the show, you know, they line up their onions and make a volcano fire. That's always cool for kids. Kids like me too. You know, they do the little thing where the train is running and draw the rice put the rice in the shape of a heart and make it have a heartbeat and then a heart attack, and you know, and so my son was, you know, he was eating this up, and so it was just the three of us at the table, and so I began to ask some questions, and my wife began to ask some more questions about, you know, what does it take to be a master Japanese chef? And this guy informed us that he wasn't quite there yet. There was another guy named Keith. He was the best. And he talked about the different things that they do, and you know what? I'd seen that other guy do it too, and it looked the same to me. I am certainly not wise in the ways of Japanese cooking. You know, I miss the details. But here's what God's calling us to. Here's the connection point for you. When your life is an offered life to God, when your life is a studied life in His Word before God, you begin to seek and get wisdom. And what you're looking for, beloved, if you want to be the wise in Christ, you're looking for wisdom. You're looking for His Word and His direction to become clear for you. Clarity is what you seek. Problem with much Christianity today is we just skim along the surface and hope we've got our fire insurance. But the goal of God is for us to go deeper and deeper into His Word. And so the way to live as one who is wise and not a fool, the way to live as after the wisdom of God and not the wisdom of the world, is to seek God in His Word. You know, we could bring many messages back there, but I want to bring this message there because many times people will ask me, Wade, what do I need to do with my life? And oftentimes they're puzzled when I say, seek His Word, live His revealed will, and He'll always open up His secret will to you. You know, that's what the Bible says, right? In Deuteronomy 29:29. The revealed things are for you and your children, and the secret things belong to God. But you know how to find God's will for your life? Pursue God's will in your life. Study His revealed will in Scripture, and He will always open up His secret will before you. Here's the point. I think it was James Montgomery Boyce who said, the way to perceive God's will for you is to look where God's at work and jump on His bandwagon. That's the goal, beloved, to live wisely, to follow the Lord, to seek His will. God does not mean Christianity for you to be a treadmill where you just run an exhausted life. God means for us, for Christianity, to be a long, high comb following the leader. You know, if you're in unbelief this morning and this stuff on wisdom doesn't get you, I encourage you to seek the person of wisdom, Jesus. You will find the treasures of wisdom in Jesus alone. And if you are a believer hurting and trying to figure out life, I call you to remember James 1:5. Any man lacks wisdom, let him ask. Ask the Lord. Ask godly leaders. Seek God and you will find wisdom. It is His promise. You see, the believer, the one who follows God, walks in love because he is beloved. Walks in love because she is loved of God. Walks in light because we are children of the light. Walks in wisdom because wisdom is ours in Christ Jesus. Let's pray. Our Father and our God, we do thank You for the privilege that is ours to come. And we pray this week, Father, that You would indeed show us the wisdom that is above, from above. That wisdom that is pure and peaceable. And fill us with the wisdom of Christ, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.